Our scripture lesson for the morning is being taken from the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Verse 10 says, am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we just want to say thank you for this is another Sunday morning that you have allowed us to see. We thank you for allowing all of us to be gathered together as your children in one place to worship you indeed in spirit and in truth. And now, Lord, we ask that your word would speak to us from on high, that the Holy Spirit would soften our hearts even now and open our ears that we may hear what it is that you have to say to us as the church. We thank you again for another opportunity. And it is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. When I began my journey in ministry some years ago, I have a very good friend in ministry who always told me, he would always say, Cheryl, you need to really stay in touch with the world. He would tell me that you need to actually read the newspaper every day. And not the local paper, not the papers that are a lot of times wherever we live, our town patch. So if I lived in Elmwood Park, not necessarily reading the Elmwood Park patch or the Bloomfield patch or the Patterson patch, but to know what's going on in the world, to understand not just what's going on in our region, that would be the tri-state area, but to have an idea of what's going on in the world, because God is always speaking. He's always teaching. He's always instructing. And he's letting you know, as one who carries the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what times we are living in, what the seasons are, what the spiritual temperatures are. So as one who at that time was sure in seminary or an educator, reading is something that I kind of got tired of doing, but I'm in the wrong profession to kind of get tired of doing that. But as I've grown and over the last several years, I've understood what he meant. Because the times that we live in today, even on this Sunday, January 19th, 2014, only 19 days into a brand new year, we live in a very evil world. We live in a world that tells us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is no longer relevant. We live in a world that tells us, follow my ways, follow my diet plan, follow my plan for giving you a better life. And a lot of times we succumb to what the world tells us to do. I have been reading the paper for the last several days and the last several weeks, and I'm sure many of you, as I am, have been very disturbed about a lot of the news. So among a lot of the papers that I read, I often read the daily news. I'll get it in the mornings and just flip through it. I don't have time to read it, but to flip through again to get what was told to me some time ago, the spiritual temperature and climate of the world that we live in that is yet so evil. I go through the paper, and I see, as many of you have seen, the slaughter of children all over the world. Cab drivers hitting 9-year-old children and killing them. Parents grieving. I look at something that's even a little bit closer to home, as many of you have seen this whole debacle about Bridgegate. We're not sure what's going on. We're not sure with what our government is doing. I'm not here to point fingers, but I am here to say that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant. When I look at what's going on in Israel, and I look at what's going on in Afghanistan, we look at the scandals even in major league sports. We look at all of the press that's given to the Globe Awards, and the Oscars are coming. And God forbid we don't mention the Super Bowl is on its way to New Jersey. And that's all fine and well. I think these are things that, again, as I was told, we should be aware of. But there are things that we allow to cloud our spiritual eyes and deafen our spiritual ears and harden the hearts that Christ has transformed in many of us. And then I say to myself, and I say to you today, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant. It's still relevant to our everyday lives, no matter what the world tells us, no matter what color they say I should dye my hair, or what size I should wear, or what I shouldn't be eating. Because if we let the world tell us, we can't eat anything. Everything will kill you. You can't have anything. Everything has to be organic. So even in these things that a lot of times we probably don't think about, there are some things when we have to just remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant. I share the words again of the Apostle Paul, and we know the Apostle Paul's story. If not, I'll just give it to you very briefly. He was one who was Jew of the Jews, Hebrew of the Hebrews, but God transformed his life. These little gloves that we had our children holding today, these were gloves that were going nowhere, that were doing nothing. And the owner of these gloves told me that they were stinky. And I told him that's okay, because that's how we were before we knew Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul was going, preaching the gospel after God had changed his life. The Apostle Paul was preaching and teaching. People's lives were being changed, their hearts being transformed. And all of a sudden, these things began to come upon them. And when I say things, what I mean is those things that we can relate to, the things that the world tells us that we should be doing. But in this instance, the church at Galatia, there were many false teachers coming around saying, don't worry about that gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what you need to do. This is who you need to follow. You need to follow the Jewish law. You need to make sure you're circumcised. You need to make sure that the people who accept this message look like you and walk the way you do and share these same common beliefs. And Paul was there to tell them that we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. And there's something that's very interesting about Paul's letter to the Galatians. We know Paul's writings because a lot of times they're very familiar. Very familiar. He opens with a salutation. Grace and peace, he'll say in one. Greetings, he'll say in another. And then right after that, Paul always has a thanksgiving. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for you, for the work that you've done. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ because you all have not turned away from what we've taught you. But there was something different about the church at Galatia. The difference was is that Paul didn't even go into the thanksgiving because they were in a bad situation, bad circumstances. And what he says is this: I am astonished, in verse 6, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. I think we live in an age where we all need to take some self-inventory. We all need to, every once in a while, go back to the place where we first believed. I've heard hymn writers write about it, and psalmists write about it and sing about it. But where was the place when you were transformed? When you were changed? Paul is often telling us about his Damascus Road experience. Where was yours? When was mine? And what are those times when we actually review those to say the gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant? Not what the world tells me, not what Satan is doing, but at least if I'm aware, if I'm in tune, I can read the seasons. I can sense spiritually what's going on. And Paul was very upset with the church at Galatia, because no matter the time span, he was upset because they were turning away from when they first believed. They were turning away from what they were taught. He goes on to say, but even if we, and he's still in strong rebuke mode, but even if we or an angel from the heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. Anathema is what the Bible says it is. Accursed be unto you. And Paul was very serious about what he was saying. If an angel from the very heavens preaches something different to you, let them be accursed. He wanted the church at Galatia to get it. And I believe that the Lord wants us to get it even today, because we're so inundated with our own lives. We're so inundated with work, with home, with family, that somehow we make the gospel of Jesus Christ and our everyday living irrelevant. But I am here to share with you this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant. The gospel of Jesus Christ surpasses dogma, theological perceptions, those things that we think, our trust funds, our IRAs, our paychecks, our legacies. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant today. Paul goes on to say in verse 10, am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And this is something that I've had to learn the very hard way, that Cheryl, you can't please people. And I'm so happy that I'm learning it now, because I pray that I have many years ahead of me to get it right. I pray that I have many years ahead of me to say, you have to teach and share and live the gospel message of Jesus Christ that is of salvation, that is of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's something we recite so well, something we share with our children, something we could stand before you and just say, something that we see on billboards, but how many of us are truly living it? I don't look at what's going on in the world as just, oh, we live in such a terrible time. Oh, people are so evil. That's all true. But what are we doing to combat that? How are we living the gospel message of Jesus Christ? This message that we share, the message that Paul is proclaiming and that those before him and after him will continue to proclaim, is not just for them to do. I'm not just here to share with you, to say what you should be doing. Our lives should be changed as Christians because of what the Word of God says to us. Paul was very upset with the church at Galatia, but somehow he still had so much compassion. And I'm sure many of them, as maybe some of us here today, would sit and think, but I know all of these things. I've been where these people have been. And a lot of times there are some of us who say, oh, I've lived through so many things. I have a lot of wisdom. And Paul had some of these same type of thinkers during his time in Galatia. And what he says, not to the church at Galatia, but he says to the church at Philippi, he says, if anyone has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of the knowing of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things And I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ, he says, and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant. The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that should propel us as Christians to share it with others. The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that helps us live from day to day. As Paul said earlier, and as the children demonstrated, it is no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me, who works in me, who speaks for me, who loves for me. And I believe that we all live in a day where we have to be mindful of that, where we have to not think of ourselves so much. But if you would, just for a moment, just think back to that time when you first believed. I can remember where it was. I even remember what I had on. I remember the building. I remember the street. I remember where I was when the Lord came into my heart. I remember where I was when I confessed Jesus Christ as Savior. I remember. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant to me. If you would, bow your heads. Please, bow your heads and think of that time when you first believed. Think of where you were. And if there's a heart here who says, I don't remember, there may be a heart here who never has asked Christ into their hearts so that you might have salvation and eternal life. Just take a moment and remember. Salvation, the Apostle Paul says, is for everyone. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. Today is a day where we are all asked to remember and to proclaim that the gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant. And we should also remember that we shouldn't let the world or our circumstances or ourselves or selfishness ever cloud that imagery. We should always keep these work gloves that have fallen down by my foot in mind. We should all keep these work gloves in mind that it is no longer I who live, but it is the Christ who lives in me. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still relevant. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, again, we say thank you for speaking to us. We thank you, Lord, that although sometimes when you speak to us, it is corrective, it is so that we will remember. And it's most of all so that you will get the glory and that we will be better Christians for this kingdom. We thank you for sharing with us today. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit being present. And if there is a heart that has never confessed you as Lord and Savior, we pray for them even now and ask that they would confess with their mouths and believe in their hearts that you are the Savior of the world and the Lord of their lives. We're asking all of these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.